Linda Hopkins Johnson. We have one of the community health workers in the house. So Linda Hopkins Johnson is the community health worker for the Brightmoor community on the northwest side of Detroit. She's responsible for reaching out and to the underserved women ages 18 through 34 and providing them with health and social support, information, and referrals. Linda is an advocate for women and families and with agencies and programs. So she will talk to us about some of the digital tools that we use.
I'm Linda Johnson, a community neighborhood navigator for the Brightmoor community in Detroit. I worked in the Brightmoor community for 2 years. I'm a wife, a mother, and a grandmother of twin girls. Most of my life, I have been the go-to person in my family for information and resources. It wasn't until I started working with the WIN Network as a CHW that I was able to put a title to what I'd done for years. As a CHW, we are hands-on people. We meet people where they are. And we help them create a support system that they might not have in their lives. For the next 10, 15 minutes, I will be talking to you about the focus groups we had that got us to this point, the outreach efforts that we did in the community, the challenges we face, and the things we were doing about those challenges, and lastly, our next steps. We had sought the safety net as a brand name out in the community, and it had its own logo. Even though our academic partners loved the name, but our community partners they weren't receptive to the name. They couldn't connect to it. So we contracted Michigan Roundtables for Diversity and Inclusion. This is a company that conducted focus groups for us. They interviewed individuals from our target audience, which is African American women ages 18 to 34 from all three communities. And they asked questions about project branding, how they get their media, and the things that they value. This was to make sure that our message reflect their values, their pregnancy health, what they understood about and identified within their neighborhoods. We learned three major things from the focus group. Women in our target audience go to a trusted female member of their family for their first resource of information, and they wanted to be empowered, and they want to hear from somebody who overcame some challenges in their lives. They also wanted to be, they wanted to see women who were strong to help inspire them and be their role models. We combined what we learned to create a new brand name, the WIN Network Detroit. One of our own community health workers, Nada Dickinson, came up with the new name, Women Inspired Neighborhood Networks, where women and children, where women and families thrive. Here's our new logo, and I just want to go over the meaning of it with you just real quick. You see that the woman is encased in a circle, but she's not bound by that circle. You see that she's looking up. She's looking up because there's hope. The pregnant women and non-pregnant women both identify with winning because pregnant women always notice that she is pregnant, and the non-pregnant women notice that women are responsible for their community. And because she's carrying the city in her stomach, and the WIN Network banner represents winning. We utilize a number of printed outreach tools to recruit our women. As CHWs, we are grassroots and traditional methods for people, recruiting people. We host community events in the community center. We had house parties. We placed our main office in the community center. We recruited from WIC and DHS office, and we tabled events. Now, we also launched our website in both desktop and mobile version in July of 2013. On the website, we have specialized contents broke down by the focus group identified target audience. Women who've never been pregnant, pregnant women, moms and babes, support teams, and professionals. And we realize we rely heavily on storytelling because people can be inspired by that and they see the videos and stories from real people in the community. And this section is called Live and Learn. All of our social media outlets were launched around the same time on the website. With the WIN Network, we found that the Facebook was the number one outlet for the majority of our audience. Often texting our participants worked best to maintain communication. I would text my participants to be one-on-one and get personal information from them. And also, if we have group events, I would do a group text with them. One more thing is about our hashtag campaign. Through the hashtag WinSpiration, we offered an avenue for our participants to share their story and goals, promoting it a bridge for high tech and high touch. We had 6 major events and local group meetings, and we asked our participants to fill out a blank photo board. We took pictures of what they wrote, and we posted it on the social media. And then we asked them to take it home and put it somewhere where they can look at it and remember what their WinSpiration was. We also did hashtag Detroit Winners. That's another high-tech and high-touch effort. And the goal for this one was to go viral by having, we were posting, encouraging people to post messages and pictures of themselves in Detroit doing positive things. As you can see, we were able to officially recruit 443 non-pregnant women and 364 pregnant women, and thousands more who we engage on our website and our community events. Despite of all the efforts, we still have problems connecting with our participants. Traditionally, we only ask the participants for their phone numbers and their address, and due to the nature of our program, we supposed to stay in contact with the participants until their babies turn 1 year old. Okay. For the non-pregnant participants, recruitment and prenatal education was typically done in the same day, and we didn't have to follow them. Now, unfortunately, often our participants was transit, continually shifting from homes, from house to house, and their phone numbers changing, and many of our participants were considered couch homeless. They had some place to lay their head, but they didn't have any place to call their own. And because of this situation, communication was a one-way street sometimes. We only heard from them when they needed another resource. So the lack of communication created difficulty making data collection on these participants a slower process, and this held up reports and evaluations. Many of our participants had free phones from the government. And with these phones, they had limited minutes. So you can either talk 250 minutes or you can text. You couldn't do both. So we attempted to put phones in their hands. And the company we were using, they were supposed to filter in our numbers so when they call us, it would be free. And, you know, in case of emergency or something, they can call us. But our numbers were not filtered into the system, so that was a resource we couldn't capitalize on. Utilizing our community health workers to connect our participants one-on-one to our data communication efforts. We had social media basic training. We had one-on-one training, 30-day social media challenge. And we were able to utilize our professional Facebook page as a mean of communication when all else failed because the phone numbers changed, addresses weren't valid anymore because the participants moving around. And then they had email addresses, some of them, and they didn't even respond to the email addresses. Okay, so in March, WIN Network created a social media liaison role to further facilitate a great buy-in from the staff to illustrate how incorporating social media in our roles as a CHW. And I'm proud to say that I am that social media liaison. Thank you. I became the social media liaison person because first my team selected me, and then they elected me. So here I am. Now, when I first started with social media, I had very little knowledge on what I was doing. My granddaughters created my first Facebook page, but they did not tell me how to use it or what to do. So my biggest mistake was I befriended everybody that sent me a friend request. And after seeing all the inappropriate posts that they were posting, I deleted it and had nothing else to do with Facebook. So when the opportunity arose, I wanted to give it a shot and see what I can do, you know, to get the latest and the greatest in communication, right? But the communication team had no idea that I was stuck in the 90s. They started to teach me how to set up a Facebook page and how to use Twitter and Instagram. And my question to them was, tweet who? Instagram what? I just had no idea. But they took me in with a lot of patience. They taught me how to write a blog post, and I appeared in some videos, and I post on Facebook weekly. Now, with this knowledge, I was able to get back in touch with some of my participants that I thought I could never reach again, but I was able to collect some of the missing data. The training focused on our professional use of Twitter and Facebook, basically Facebook, and based on the social media, how to use it on your laptop and on your telephone, and using social media outlets as a tool of resources. This is what we were learning. Okay, to capitalize on our newly found skill in social media, the WIN Network communication team created a 30-day social media challenge, and it began in mid-June and ended in mid-July. And we were strongly encouraged to participate and get our participants to engage in our Facebook also. As a result, the direct effort from our teams, we were able to nearly grow nearly 100 more followers than from June to September. And this was the largest growth for likes in It accounted for the highest spike of likes at any given time since we launched the Facebook page. Using mass text to participate, using mass text to participate with participants to let us know about events, showing people where we are, what we're doing, and where we're going. Utilizing that as a tool to connect with to resources in the city, it increased followers to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and find program participants. This was one of the biggest highlights through the Facebook search and messages. We were able to reconnect with the participants who we thought were gone. And by being able to reconnect with these women, we were able to foster our relationship and have them complete a follow-up survey. Sorry about that. For the next step in our communication plan, we have a few things in the works. As we move forward, and now we're improving in our message and campaign, we are continuing to build our social media following. We would like to personify our logo into Winnie, and Winnie would be an animated drawing that we could utilize on our website and social media outlet, and she would be a cartoon version of a strong, sassy woman from Detroit who is positive, in the know about local events and resources and advice. We're gearing towards doing another round of focus groups to test to see if our website is truly what it needs to be. And so, as we continue to gain more followers and increase our engagement, we would like to host Twitter chats surrounding relative topics and continue using social media training with the CHWs. And as I gain more language on the ins and outs of our social media, I can more easily show the CHWs how to strategically research and stay connected with our participants. Thank you.
Well, I am really proud of the entire team, I must say, for our Community Neighborhood Navigator to get up in front of an audience at a national meeting. I'm really, really proud of you, Linda. So in terms of what's next, I just have one slide here for the WIN Network Detroit. We still have ongoing program evaluation. Of course, we have many individuals that have yet to deliver, so we're still following the women that are pregnant and following them through the infant's first year of life. We're now moving from sewing up the safety net to hardwiring the safety net, where we can institutionalize some of our efforts. So we're looking for funding through CMS to fund the community health workers. Currently, they're funded through grant support and through system support. However, we're looking for long-term funding. We're also looking for group prenatal visits, featuring having the community health workers work very closely with the women. So the centering pregnancy model, some of you may have heard of, that even talking with Sharon Rising, one of the sort of the founder of Centering Pregnancy, there's not a model where they combine community health workers with the women. So she was very intrigued by that model, and that's one that we're hoping to implement as well. I mentioned community health worker reimbursement and also a collective impact. The task force has been in existence since 2008, and we're sort of being more and more viewed as that entity, that go-to entity within our community to address the needs of women and children. So the Detroit Institute for Birth on for Equity on Birth Outcomes, that's through City Match, the Excellent Schools Detroit Born Ready campaign. They're asking the task force to work with them more closely, and the Institute for Population Health's Healthy Start grant. They were also being asked to be involved in that as well. Their fetal infant mortality reviews the community action team. So we have a lot going, and we're also received some additional funding from March of Dimes to have an effort where we're mentoring women and empowering them in the community, so they're having these parties in their homes, like Tupperware parties. They invite 20, 25 of their friends to come and hear accurate information. So we feel that we're really continuing to educate and empower more and more in the community. And in closing, a quote that I'd like to share as I share our social media page there is, oftentimes as we're in the community, one quote that seems to resonate with the community members that we work with is, and it's it's an Aboriginal saying, but if you are here to help me, the community is saying, if you are here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you are here because your liberation is bound up in mine, then let us begin. And that's the approach that we take. So thank you. I'll turn it over to Dr. Williams.
Yes, a really big thanks to the team for such a clear exposition of the remarkable work that they're doing in Detroit. And it really shows what is possible when, you know, communities come together and put the resources in place to really make a difference. Opportunity for questions, comments from the audience. I see many hands are up. I'll go at the back, start at the back.
Thank you all so much for being here today. Very, very, very important. I'm curious how many people can help with your employee and the employment through social service agencies existing, or if they all came together?
We started off with six community health workers. We have five right now, and they were funded through grant support from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Kresge Foundation, Kellogg Foundation, and all four of the health systems. And then University of Michigan, PNC Bank, other entities have put in, March of Dimes have put in some money as well. The bulk of the money came from those primary supporters. What we did was we used the Institute for Population Health as our fiduciary, so they are the hiring agency. We felt that if we have four competing health systems working together, they couldn't be Henry Ford Health System employees. That just didn't work well for the partnership. So they're actually hired by Institute for Population Health, and we pay them for those community health workers. So now we currently have five.
So was that two per community? You're working in three
two
community areas, two per neighborhood.
Two per neighborhood.
Okay,
exactly.
Thank you.
And I want to add that some of them had previous jobs as community health workers, and some of them went through the 160 hours of training with the Institute for Population Health, and then a very rigorous interview process, and then some more training.
For the community health workers.
Through IPH, the program belongs to the task force. So it's an independent website, www.winnetworkdetroit.org. There are links to the health departments and to all of our organizations, but we make our own rules.
So you have some.
We are in the process. We're working very closely with the Michigan Community Health Worker Alliance. Katie Mitchell is our point person, and we're also working with the Michigan Department of Community Health. They've just recently gone through some change in their directorship, so we are definitely working through the state channels because we know that's the vehicle based on the Federal Register from July 15th of last year. Mm-hmm. But they were actually so consumed with the Medicaid expansion. Yahoo, we were really the Republican governor. Yes. We really promoted the Medicaid expansion, so we feel very fortunate. So they said, we're a little busy with that right now, but come back to us. So we're in the process of pulling together a convening of key stakeholders across the state and really addressing it at the state level.
Okay. Another question at the back? Yes.
Thank you.
Medicaid plan. We have HAP Midwest is our system Medicaid plan, but there are about 13 other Medicaid plans within the city of Detroit. So we are actually in the process of identifying ways, and as we continue to prove the model, of course, the model of community health workers has been shown over and over again to be effective, to identify ways to work with them, to have them support community health workers. Some, like Molina, are beginning to hire community health workers. Others are, we're having conversations. So actually, we were one of the entities that submitted one of those CMMI grants, those massive $10 million grants. And we very much incorporated community health workers and the plans being at that planning table as we developed payment reform and delivery reform. We weren't funded, unfortunately, but we're working very closely with the plans to sort out how we can have the plans covered. Also, one person on our task force is the Michigan Association of Health Plans. She sits on, so that represents all the health plans for the state. She sits on our task force. So we try to keep that connection going as well, but we haven't figured it out